Well, how many of you came to church today to hear about sin? If you came through the door thinking you can't bring sin into the church, and then you look into the scripture, and I love how transparent God's word is. He doesn't try to hide the fact that Abraham and David and all of these patriarchs had their problems and their issues. And we kind of go back and forth between here's Abraham talking with God and interceding with God, trying to protect his nephew Lot, and then watching the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah burn up because God couldn't find 10 righteous people in that town. And Abraham, I'm sure if you're thinking, okay, I'm praying, and then you watch the town burn up that you were trying to intercede for and trying to protect, you're probably thinking, God's not listening to me. And he does a weird thing. God had just promised him, I'm going to come back here in a year, and you're going to have a son. His name's going to be Isaac, and it's going to be from your wife, Sarah. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And Abraham had faith, but Abraham also apparently had doubts, and Abraham has concerns. And it doesn't say explicitly in Scripture that he left where he was staying because of Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgment there, and the fact that he had prayed for that town, and God had not, in his mind, I'm sure, answered his prayer. And he wanders off. He didn't go down into Egypt this time, but he does something very similar to what he did when he went down into Egypt. He's human. How many of us, as we're going through our lives, we're just kind of going along, and we keep doing things the way we've done them because that's always how we've done it, without thinking about, is this the way God would like me to do it? We just move along, and it makes sense to us, and it's logical, and we can rationalize and convince ourselves that we're doing the right thing. And besides, God's probably not listening anyway, because I tried praying and that didn't work. You ever been there? Lord, we're coming to you today, knowing that many of the things that I've requested and advised and counseled you on, you've not listened in the way that I'd like you to. Forgive me for not seeking you first, your will, your way. Cause me to be a person that understands your purpose is much greater than mine. Help me to realize how holy and just and awesome you are, and to lean into you with all my heart. And to stop trusting in my own understanding, Father. You're a good God. Thanks, Jesus, that we can pray because of your righteous sacrifice. That you were willing to exchange your righteousness for my filth, my dirt, my sin. Thanks, God, for that. And thanks, God, that you use us in spite of who we are, not because of who we are. Amen. So in chapter 20, we've got a story of Abraham and Abimelech. And Abimelech is a king of Gerar. It may just be a title because you find another Abimelech later and then another one later, and it kind of keeps popping up. Maybe it's just a family name. Maybe it's a title. Not 100% sure on that. But Abraham goes into a community, and he doesn't think anybody in this community is very righteous. And he's just found out that Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have 10 righteous people, so they got burned. And he's probably thinking everywhere he goes, there's going to be ungodly, crazy, awful people. So he has a special plan. He's going to do a preemptive strike. I'll sin against them before they can sin against me. Beautiful plan, right? Makes perfect sense because you know they're going to all hurt you anyway, so you might as well put up your defenses and take care of them first. Protect yourself. Can't trust God to protect you. It's a sad story in some ways, but to me it's the beauty of God's grace. God ends up calling Abraham a prophet in this passage for the first time the word prophet's been used in Scripture. Now we think of a prophet oftentimes as somebody who can look into the future and foretell the future, but a prophet is really somebody that just speaks God's word. It's somebody that has a relationship with God. They speak to one another. He hears from God. He knows what God wants. He understands what God is desiring. And God has told him a specific thing a number of times. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And no, it's not going to be out of the son that you had with Hagar, it's going to be with a son that you're going to have that you don't have yet. And by the way, you're going to be 100 next year, and your wife's going to be 90, but you don't have this child yet that's going to become a great nation and bless all nations. And he's looking at this, and probably, even though he believes and he knows God and he trusts God, he's one of God's prophets, he falls into the same pattern we fall into. God, I trust you. Now I'm going to keep doing things my way until you fix it. I'm going to keep going on in my own strength because that's all I really know. Even though I sort of know you, Lord. I'm going to read and give commentary as we go along the way here. There's some interesting twists in this chapter that I think are appropriate and relevant to us today. Verse 1 of chapter 20 in Genesis. Genesis 20, verse 1. Now Abraham, and the now is, he had just seen Sodom and Gomorrah burn up after he had requested that they not burn. Now Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while he stayed in Gerar. Gerar is just kind of a little area, it's inside Philistine land. And there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. Here's this beautiful 90-year-old woman that every king wants to have in his harem. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, do you see a problem with this? God had just told Abraham, you're going to have a child with Sarah. And that's going to be the child of promise. That's going to be the child that the seed, Jesus Christ, is going to come from. That's going to be the child that through him all nations will be blessed. So Abraham goes into a foreign country, says, hey, she's my sister, and the king calls for her and takes her away into his harem again. This had happened down in Egypt, and it worked out pretty well for Abraham there, didn't it? He got a lot of stuff, got some extra servants and cattle and whatever, and he's probably thinking, okay, well, I'm going to get a dowry again. This will be good. I love how God intervenes. But God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, now we don't know how long this had been, but as you look later in the chapter, you can tell there's been some months at least that have passed, and things are not working out real well for the people of Gerar. God came to Abimelech in a dream one night and said to him, you're as good as dead. You're a dead man because of the woman you have taken. She's a married woman. Isn't that strange that God goes to who Abraham would assume is a pagan? We'll find out. Abraham assumes this is a totally ungodly man with no fear of the Lord, and God shows up and talks to him. Abraham's not listening. I think God's going to have to talk to someone else. But that would be kind of weird. If, okay, you're having a dream, there's this vision, and this God that you, I'm sure, have heard by now that he's just destroyed a couple of cities by throwing fire and brimstone down on it. He's coming to you in the middle of the night in a dream, in a vision, and he's saying, you're a dead man. That's like the Godfather coming to you. I'm going to deal with you here. And Father God is calling him out. Now Abimelech, verse 4, had not gone near her. So he said, Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? He's assuming it's not just him, it's going to be the whole nation. That's what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? And didn't she also say, he is my brother? I have done this with a clear conscience and clean hands. He's like, I haven't done anything wrong, God. Are you really going to come after me? I love God's graciousness. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience. And so I have kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. He's thinking, I didn't do anything. And God's saying, I know you didn't do anything. I didn't let you. It wasn't that you didn't want to. How many of us have had desire to sin and God's held us back one way or another? Thank you, Lord. Now, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet. This guy that lied to you, this guy that's put you in this position of jeopardy and has just about ruined your nation, he's a prophet. So give him back his wife. And what's more is, and he will pray for you and you will live. What? I'm supposed to go to this liar and ask him to pray for me and give him back his wife that he said was his sister? But if you do not return her, God gives him a choice. I love that God gives us choices. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all yours will die. Here's your choice. Give him back his wife and have him pray for you so you can live. Or don't give him back his wife. That's your choice. But everybody's going to die. Sometimes does it feel like those are our choices? Do the right thing or die. Turn or burn. It's kind of... Verse 8. This isn't like Lot. When the Lord came to Lot with a message and said, you know, this is a wicked place and we're going to destroy it and you need to get out of here now. He kind of dilly-dallied and then he hesitated and he held back and the angels had to kind of drag him out of Sodom. Here's this pagan king. Early the next morning, he gets right on it. He wakes up and he's ready to go. Abimelech summoned all his officials, and when he told them all that had happened, they were very much afraid. It's like, oh, that God that destroyed those other cities is saying that we're in his sights now? We need to do something. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, now here Abraham is getting taken to the woodshed by somebody that he thinks is ungodly. Abraham thinks I'm godly. This other guy's ungodly. And who's in the right now?
Abimelech,
this pagan king from Gerar, is in the right, and he's coming and taking Abraham to the woodshed. Come on. Any of us ever need to go to the woodshed and have somebody that we think is a sinner come and correct our sinful behavior? Abimelech called Abraham in and said, what have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should not be done. And Abimelech asked Abraham, what was your reason for doing this? What were you thinking? Well, Abraham's got a good reason here, right? He says, I said to myself, there's the first problem. He's leaning on himself, his own understanding. We learned about that in Ecclesiastes where King Solomon kept trying to learn everything he could in the flesh. And he says, it's all vanity. It's all emptiness. It's all a waste when we try to do things for ourselves in our own strength. I said to myself, there is surely no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, now he's going to start making excuses, she really is my sister, the daughter of my father, though not of my mother, and she became my wife. So it's kind of only a white lie. It's not a full lie. It's a sort of lie.
He's a half-sister, right?
Yeah. But also a wife. And when God had me wander from my father's household, I said to her, so this is a plan that they started 25 years earlier, and they've been carrying out this same plan for 25 years, living deceptively as a married couple, in agreement with each other. This is how you can show your love to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. Then Abimelech brought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, my land is before you. Live wherever you like. This is real different than the Pharaoh response when the same situation had happened. He says, get out of here, go. Well, you know, he'd already given him all of the dowry and all the gifts and things. This time Abimelech gives these things to him as he's returning Sarah to him. And then he says to him, you can stay anywhere in our land you'd like to. God had come to him in a dream and said, that's my prophet. He's a friend of mine. And if you're smart, you want to be close to God's friends. Because there's a little bit of protection there. So Abimelech said, my land is before you. Live wherever you like. To Sarah he said, and I'm sure that all of his officials and everybody else is around, and he's doing this publicly. He's demonstrating his purity, his generosity, his goodness. This pagan king is better than Abraham and Sarah here. Like oftentimes we'll meet people in town here and they'll say, I'm a nice person. And you know what? They are. Sometimes the people that aren't coming to church are nicer and better than the ones that are coming to church. A lot of times they're nicer and better than me. To Sarah he said, I'm giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. It's about 25 pounds of silver. That was a lot of money back then. Probably be about the equivalent of $1 million now. This is to cover the offense against you before all who are with you. You are completely vindicated. What a generous, kind man. Now, I'm sure if you're Abraham and you're getting called into the woodshed and getting this verbal rebuke, you know, is that going to touch your heart? Is that going to cause you to want to seek God again? It's either going to do that or you're going to get real defensive and try to make up more reasons why it's okay and you didn't do anything wrong. But I think Abraham realizes here, he messed up. It doesn't say that Abraham repented, but I'm guessing that he did, because if you're not repentant, it's kind of, you go to God with a prayer, he's not going to listen to you. Verse 17, then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his slave girls, so they could have children again, for the Lord had closed up every womb in Abimelech's household because of Abraham's wife Sarah. Abraham prays, and they all live again. Now this whole concept that the wombs had been closed up. God had already said, I'm going to take this barren woman who's past her age of being able to bear children, Sarah, and she's going to have a child. She's 90. She's going to have a kid. And having children is considered a blessing. I'm not sure if everybody agrees with that anymore, but I think it's pretty much a blessing. It's fun to see kids just being kids. He's closing up the womb, and now he reopens them because he had promised if Abraham, the prophet, his friend, prays for Abimelech, that they will live. Part of life is birth and next generation and next generation. Do we want to live? Do we know who could intercede for us? We can turn to Jesus. Now, Jesus isn't a liar, not like Abraham. Jesus was perfect. We can turn to him and have him pray for us and intercede for us. It says in Romans 8 that he does that very thing. And he interprets the groanings of our heart. He and the Holy Spirit, and they understand us better than we understand ourselves. And we can have life, eternal life, life everlasting, in the sweet by and by. All of those things we just sang about. We get to have life forever because God is good. And Jesus paid the price. Now, it's odd here because I'm looking and I see Abimelech clearly is a better man than Abraham in this chapter.
That's right.
But we can't use that for an excuse either for being in the world and saying, well, I'm better than the Christians. They're all hypocrites. God didn't say, that's right, and you're better than them, and I'm going to take you and I'm going to reject them. He still said Abraham was his man. That's comforting to me. As a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, I know that when I sin, when I fail, God doesn't reject me. He doesn't say, I'm done with you. He says, you messed up. Come back. Go and sin no more. He's a good God. And then he says, and by the way, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to be a blessing. I said you were going to be a blessing to nations. Here's a nation that really needs your blessing right now. Because of your sin. You've been a curse to them. But I'm going to make you a blessing. God's still the one doing the work. God's the one that's bringing things back to the way they were supposed to be. It's not Abraham. Isn't that comforting? Because it's not me, and it's not you, and it can't be us that fixes the world, no matter how hard we think we want to. God's the one that does that. And sometimes, in His grace and in His mercy, He uses us in spite of who we are. He says, yeah, you're a wicked person, you're messed up, and I love you. And I want you to bless others, and I'm going to do that through you. Pray for these people so that they can live. We got to do that. The only doing we have to do is let God do through us.
Amen.
That's all I got. You got a closing song, Kathy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that okay to stop a little early? I could talk for another 30-40 minutes if you'd rather. But...
Not something that.
No.